Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, what an awesome day! I wish all of you had been able to join us for the pre-show, because you missed some quality content right there. Might change our whole demographic, but quality content right there. Yeah. Where did all this quality content come from? Well, let's just run down the shopping list of awesomeness. Ian, how are you?
Me? I'm great. Thank you very much. Another week, another week down. All is good. Another
Excellent.
Week of work done. Vegas is booked. So that's another good thing. So work is doing work things. So yeah. Nice week last weekend. I should have posted some pictures in the Slack room, but I posted them in our green room chat of ghosts in the ruins of our Minster museum garden, which was lovely last week. So
very quiet,
nice,
very bad.
Very spooky.
They had they had some reenactors there as well. There's two or three ghost walks in the city, so they got a lot of the guys that do the ghost walks to come into the. They paid them for the evening to come and tell tales, and so that was the backdrop for them doing their spiel and stuff. And it was very good, very nicely done. It was very well sort of laid out and stuff in a very nice old garden in the city. So yeah,
nice.
Spooky and fun. So we did that
very
down
nice.
At Bristol at the weekend, put on the lovely Bristol Suspension Bridge, which is massive.
Nice.
Lifton Suspension Bridge, Isambard Kingdom Brunel. So yeah, all of that kind of good stuff.
Nice. Speaking of good stuff, Tom, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm doing pretty well. Had to get up early this morning, so I might not be on my A game.
This is the big show. Who would notice?
We also accept B, C, D, and all other games, basically.
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
As long as it's a
you
game.
You get a trophy just for showing up.
Okay, I'm good.
Participation.
I'm good.
You're good, yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Our ASMR specialist, Patrice. How are you?
I'm so sorry. I need a mute button, I think, for this.
No, quality ASMR should never be muted, right?
Okay. No, I'm good. I also booked another trip. Actually, hopefully the last one for the year. It's definitely the last one I will take the year. Not sure it's the last one I will book the year in the year. We'll see. There's still like 4 weeks for a fork, so who knows? No, I'm like last trip to Lisbon, and then I'm gonna stay another whatever 10 days, 9 days, something like that. Afterwards, stay over Christmas in Lisbon and enjoy the not so cold weather there.
Nice.
So it's
booked. Oh, that's
all
a good.
Well, that's a sensible idea, if ever there was.
Nice.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, work pays for the flight, so all I had to do is accommodation. And I mean, for sure, like whatever you need throughout the week. But
very nice.
Yeah. Yep. So that's me. So,
awesome.
Went to a really cool Christmas market on the weekend. The first one that opened, I think. So, yeah, this weekend, last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
First ones opened in Vienna. Highly recommended. If you know, like, if you've ever thought about, I should really go to Vienna. Like, what is a good time? Personally, Christmas. It's not as crowded, because like most tourists think about, oh, I should go in the summer, it's nice and beautiful, which it is, but it's not as crowded, not as expensive, but we have really beautiful Christmas markets. So highly recommend that.
All right. Well, now we know what time to come visit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any time would be a great time.
Any time would be a great time.
Christmas would be like a special treat.
Yeah, just bring tons of cash, because one, they barely accept cards, or if they do so very begrudgingly, and two, it's just freaking expensive. Like it's like a small mug, like this little mug here, like 0.25 liters, so 250 milliliters, Glühwein, so malt wine, spices and everything, for like $6 or something, plus $5 for the mug. You can return it, but I kept it.
But it's such a great little drinking mug.
Yeah, that's why I kept it. I have two of them. I've had one from last year, and I picked one up this year. So.
One for each foot, or one for each hand.
Yeah, exactly. So little for the people listening, it's a little red boot, basically, with like Christmas
it's
printing.
It's Patrice's cute little holiday drinking boot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, expensive. Like,
everybody should have a drinking boot, I think.
Yes, yes. I mean, right. that is to be fair, that is a thing in Germany. Probably also in Austria, in like especially for beer, they have like a foot, like
boot
looks like a boot of
yeah.
beer, and it's yeah. like I think it's a liter, and yeah, you drink it together.
I think I had one of those at Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they also have the Maß, which is the normal like big glass. But
well, to be honest, I don't remember much about Oktoberfest, but I think I had one.
Well, that's yep, that's I think normal. To be honest, most people don't if they go.
That was the last time I got seriously drunk. It was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And
I mean, don't go today. You probably pay like 15 times as much. Like I think the Maß is at, I think it's like almost close to 20 euros now.
Wow.
Something like that. So it's really really expensive.
Wow. I just remember a lot of people with big glasses of beer and elbow to elbow. And
yes, bad music, badly dressed people.
And having to get up at, I had to get up at, I think like at 7 or 6:30 the next morning to catch my flight. It was a long flight. There's nothing worse than being hungover on an airplane.
I mean, you know what would have helped is to drink another beer right before you board and then just sleep through.
Good sleep. Air the dog,
yeah.
I guess.
There's that's the thing. The counter beer. counters your hangover. Counter beer.
So you have your yin beer the night before, you have your yang beer before the flight in the morning.
That's right. You gotta keep balanced.
Yeah, and that's then right. When you arrive, I mean then that's when the trouble starts.
Yeah, you got to pay for it eventually.
Yeah, exactly. One way or another.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can try, once you get off the plane, hit a bar right away.
Yeah, I mean, if
but
you
you're
keep...
right, eventually.
Eventually, one way or another, you're going to pay for it. And if if it is with your life.
Yeah, yep. All right. Well, hey, on that happy note, we should probably talk some tech news.
Yeah, let's do that.
So who has the first story?
Tech news?
You're on then.
That would be Ian.
Oh.
Tom, he beat you by that much.
It was by that much.
My internet is too damn slow.
Mine isn't fast.
He's closer to the servers, I think.
That's technically true, yes. He is out of all of us the closest to the servers.
That's true. We're in the same country as them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, and I guess it means, Tom, even I'm closer to the servers than you.
Yeah, I'm lagging. Yes.
Yeah, well, Ian, tell us about your story. And I'm thinking, based on your story, maybe even I could go be a surgeon.
Yes, you could. It would appear. This is cool, to be fair. Another good use of AI. I like finding good use rather than keep going, the Terminators are coming. But there we go. So surgery via robot is a thing. It's not a new thing. It's been around for a while. But the models they're using to train the surgery robots are getting much cleverer. They're using AI precision is the latest thing. There was an article this week about how they've been able to get the model is clever enough to pick the gaps in the knowledge it has to be able to realize what it's meant to do next, like drops a needle, it picks it back up again. So it's kind of getting more thinking. So, and it's learned it by watching other surgeons, human ones, do surgery. They're using that to teach it. And so now they can go, so this is, I think this is excellent. This is, I mean, I like the idea of a robot because it's essentially, if it's trained to do it and it knows how to do it and it knows exactly the set of steps, You can't mess it up effectively. That sounds like a good thing to me.
It
And these
does.
are Da Vinci robots. So I like the idea of surgery that's repeatable and precise. This seems to me a wholly a good idea. The wet squeegee thing, which I always talk about being the failure point in any system, we can kind of move that back. I mean, I'm sure there'll be points where a human will still be the thing that's needed. But for routine surgeries, this sounds like an absolutely awesome idea.
Yeah, also for, I mean, for certain things where like you want the human to tell the machine what to do, but then it is simply more steady and more precise in doing it. Like sometimes, I mean, that's why surgeons, like, they have to have the steadiest hands they can. Like a machine is always gonna be much steadier and much more precise because it can do literally this exact same movement a million times. And like no human, I think, can do that.
Think of a CNC machine. It's the same idea. You can make that, make 1,000 parts with the same precision every time. So if you can go there and say, go exactly 3 millimeters there, 4 millimeters there, cut.
What it
That's
can't do is all the variation that comes with it with human squishy bits. Or it's not as good
Yes,
at least.
our squishy bits do have variation. Yes.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet. But the routine stuff that's fairly easily done, it's got to be a step forward in terms of technology. Very, very interesting. And again, useful usage of AI rather than me writing a book or looking up nonsense on the internet.
That's true.
And
Oh,
it's
well,
like
you know.
they teached it. They taught it to do three simple things, or reasonably simple things: needle handling, tissue lifting, and suturing. That's a good place to start. Those are
It is.
fairly straightforward.
And necessary elements.
Necessary elements, yeah.
So if you can get the robot to close up after you're done, then it'll make a better job than the crappy surgeon. Because to be fair, that's one of the To be fair, that's one of those things where surgeons do vary in their quality.
They do. I mean,
I've seen
that's
people tell me,
something.
I mean, it's.
No, I mean, but it's. I mean, think about it. It's kind of it's human, right? They have to. Nobody wants to be the first person that a surgeon works on or operates on, right? Because but the reality. I mean, the reality is one. By the time they've first do that, they've gone through so many surgeries with others and trained so much that it's fine. But you see that's why like a lot of like you see even the same surgeon, if he does the same surgery over and over and over again, he gets better and better because it is a skill. And of course, the more you repeat it and the more you see and the more complications they handle and all of that, the better they get. So that's why it takes a while to get to that level, and they hopefully keep progressing, keep getting better, which is also I think something that machines probably aren't as good at. They can learn to some extent, but that constant learning process and the constant improvement process is harder for I think machines
But
so
surely
far.
that's where AI, but isn't that where AI
Yeah,
starts to come in?
better, but it's still
Because it's nothing
the
on the
AI needs
CNC
the
machine
inputs.
otherwise.
The problem is the AI needs the input. So who provides the input, the feedback?
Well, that's this where they're learning from
Yes,
watching human
exactly.
surgeons
Yeah,
do
they
it.
watch human
So.
surgeons and watch human surgeons how they do things and what mistakes they make and how to fix them and all of that. And that's how they learn, which is how humans learn as well. Like, I mean, the first step is they watch other surgeons do surgeries and not do anything. And then they might start assisting here or there. And then eventually they might get to whatever, do a very simple thing or close up a patient and so on. And that's like part of their training. It's like step by step they get trained to get better and better until they're ready
And
to
close.
do it on their own. But there's still someone more experienced next to them and so on. And yeah, at some point they reach the level where okay, now they can do it. And then they start doing more complex things. I mean, it's also they do the simple things first and then they do the more complex things and so on. Like surgeries are insanely complex sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things where you think that's a scary thing to do.
And to do it well and to do it precise, and any mistake you make, you might get sued for, or you might, in a worst case, kill someone. Like, that is a scary. So that's why, as I said, this especially for the things that need. I mean, that's why we have robots today, even. Like, there are surgeries, laparoscopic surgeries especially, but also like all the brain stuff, or most of the brain stuff, no surgeon is actually putting a hand inside of you or on you.
Right.
It's all robot. It's them controlling robots doing it, because the movements and the space that's available and all of it is all so small that no human would be able to do that and not completely open up the body.
Yeah, it's like the eye surgery to correct your vision with the machines with the laser cutters on them.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, whatever, 30 years ago, to go in for a corrective surgery and have a surgeon come at your eye with like an X-Acto knife and say, "I think I can get it."
Hold still,
don't move.
But I mean, you're joking, but that is literally how things started, right?
Yeah,
it used to be. They would use kitchen knives and saws and like all of that. That's like really back on the very very beginning. That's how surgery started, like, and whatever. They probably didn't have staples, like, just, I don't know, just put it together and hope for the best, stuff like that, and just hope.
Maybe super glue, huh?
Yeah, I mean, super glue.
We're super glue and all that sort of stuff, aren't we? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, these days, yes, but back then, you used the yarn you just used 5 seconds before to whatever, sew together like a dress, and then use the same yarn, and we're like, oh, it's gonna be fine, right?
Oh, that worked. I mean, I learned about have.
Yes
years ago. I learned this again. One of these sort of effects of war, or perspex plexiglass screens in the front of aeroplanes, when they shatter and explode and end up in people's eyes. The doctors discovered a wonderful thing: the eye didn't reject the bit of perspex; it just sat in there.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and so from this, contact lenses were born.
Huh.
Sure.
They talked to a pilot and he said, you know, I can see so much better now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But when they fished it out and they realized that, well, the eye hasn't rejected it. The eye hasn't done anything to it. It's completely inert. Ooh, what can we do with this? So contact lenses were born.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, no, it is. I find it fascinating. All these little things we discover, one thing leads to another, and
yeah.
Well, speaking of one thing leading to another, which oftentimes in the technology world leads to pain and anguish, Tom, tell us about your story.
Are we going to go? We're going to pain and anguish. I'm the pain and anguish guy.
You are 200 you most are giving us the cautionary tale.
Okay,
so we can avoid pain and anguish.
So this is a story that comes out at least every year about the most commonly used passwords. And this was a survey done by NordPass, who has, I think they do VPNs, password managers, a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming they're getting their data from their password manager customers, which is sort of funny. I assume that's where they get this kind of information. And yeah, they have the most common most common passwords by country.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I looked at the U.S., I looked at Canada, U.K., all the English-speaking places, and even some Spanish-speaking places. But in, let me see, you can choose it by country. Let me look at the U.S. So the number one in the U.S., the password is secret, the most common password. And, of course, you get the 123456 password. And, of course, the old standby, QWERTY 123.
Username is password, and password is username.
That's clever.
No, it's not.
Nobody had ever figured that out.
No, it's not.
Number 60 things... worldwide. I'll let you, everyone, go look it up. So
I think I just gave away my BTN login information.
Oh, I hope not.
But the funny thing was, so I'm just kind of, you know, perusing through this, and almost every country had, the English-speaking ones that I looked at, had sports-related passwords. So in the U.S., baseball and football were in, like, the top 20. And
Oh,
baseball
yeah.
was higher than
Yeah.
football, which made me happy. And then in Canada, I guess which sport was a password?
Curling.
Hockey.
Canada,
Curling.
it
Curling,
had to
that's
be
a
hockey.
good guess.
Yeah, it would have to be hockey, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I
Canada.
was thinking like, I don't know, air hockey or something.
In UK, it's a bunch of EPL team names: Liverpool, Arsenal,
Of
Chelsea,
course.
yeah, it will be. It will be.
Rangers, and of course,
Oh.
football is also in the UK list, but it's different football, of course, because it's
Proper
the UK.
football.
Proper football, yes.
Real football.
Yeah, none of this silliness with some
So
version of rugby.
this is a humorous story, but on a more serious note, I guess it's still the case. We've gone through sort of, I thought we'd gone through this phase of passwords where people stop doing this kind of stuff, using the same password for all their sites because they can't remember them. Monkey 123, that kind of stuff. But
Nope.
clearly, this is not the case. We are still in that phase of goofy passwords.
Yeah, because
And
people just, I mean, I've heard that even from people that that you would think they would know better, where they say, "Oh, it's fine. There's nothing important here." Right? My Twitter or my Mastodon or my British Tech Network login or whatever, eh, there's nothing important. Like, why would I need a secure password here? So, and then they get hacked, and then they wonder why.
I think the only passwords I have that aren't really good passwords are for things like iOS games. And literally, if somebody took that away from me, I don't think it's a security risk, and I don't really care. But I use a password manager that scores your password, so you can very quickly see which sites you have really poor passwords. But I don't know. Maybe it's just not that many people really use password managers, and that's why Apple,
That yes, that I mean that's why a lot of I mean Microsoft's doing the same thing. Like what I mean, even that I don't
Google,
think
yeah.
solves the problem. It helps because certain people will might use it because it's more convenient. If it's very convenient, they might just do it. If it's just like whatever it, whenever there's a new password that they have to generate and they're too lazy to change it to
It
whatever
just
the
stores
default is, and they're
it,
like, eh, fine, okay, I'll just use that. But a lot of people, I think they're afraid of what happens if I forget, or whatever happened, not what if I, happens if I forget, what happens if the app doesn't work. And then they don't trust it, and then they trust their crappy password and their crappy memory more than they trust such apps.
That's true.
Right, and that's the
That's
problem.
true.
Yeah,
Well,
there's a
I'll be
lot of
honest,
people
I yeah.
that I've encountered over the years that also think that it doesn't matter if they use a strong password or if they're using multiple passwords, because why would anyone want to target them? They're a
Yeah,
nobody.
exactly. Like I have nothing, like I have nothing important here and I'm a nobody and why would anybody hack me, right?
It's
That's
just my Gmail account. Who cares, right?
exactly. Yeah, and then they
Right.
don't realize that basically everything runs and a lot of information runs through that. And like you can get access
And
to your bank all
you
of a sudden because you have access to the email address or stuff like that.
yeah, because it's your
Yeah,
recovery email for everything you have,
exactly.
right?
Yeah, and then people get hacked. Same thing with phone numbers. Do you think, yeah, my like, oh, it's not a problem. I can get like two-factor authentication tokens through the phone. It's not a problem because like that's secure, right? Until it's not.
Until it's not.
Well, I have noticed there are a lot more sites that have minimum requirements to try to improve password
Yeah,
strength.
but that actually we're realizing doesn't work very well. Because people, yeah, they have minimum requirements, but
But
people
they
just
have.
use a pattern. It's like, oh, it's always whatever. It's the same password, and I just whatever
Increment the number
capitalize
up.
it, like one letter and
Incrementing the
capitalize.
numbers up.
Yeah, and then the pattern is still the same, so still easy to guess.
I can now freely admit, for the last like 3 or 4 years I was working, we had the requirement at work to change our password every 3 months.
Which
Which,
a lot of organizations do, but I think a couple of years ago Is it a NIST? I don't remember who sets it. That's those rules in the US. They basically recommend not doing that anymore. It's not safe.
Yeah,
It's not
well, so the
safer.
way almost everybody I talked to at work, because it was getting to be such a pain, did what I did, which was I had a password
And
and I
then
would
added the
change it
one,
from,
one,
yeah, it was
two.
Q1, Q2,
Yeah,
Q3,
exactly.
Q4,
Yes. Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, and then the next year I would, so
No, and then
anybody at
at actually,
work.
yours
Where
is probably
you
smarter than most people. Most people were just, okay, every time they have to change it, they do a plus one at the end. So you know exactly, if you know how long they've worked
That's
there and how
exactly.
many times they had to change their password, you can guess pretty easily what the password actually is. Because it's a very simple password. It's whatever, their name or the name of the department and then the number.
There's a really good XCD cartoon about how to set passwords, and I'm a big fan of the old passphrase, three disconnected words that you
Yeah,
hopefully the old speedy
even.
man can remember.
Yeah, even those are, because to be fair, any pattern people will, like the crackers will start, or tools will start doing first. So three words with a dash in between, it is harder to guess, yes, and there's a lot of
Not
people that
that
are, there's a lot of tools that are not very smart and they will just do random letters, and yes, those will take forever. But if they start, if they know, it's like, okay, it's three or four or five words, and it's the English language, and there's either a space or a dash in between. It's not that hard to iterate. I mean, there is,
hard.
to be
Thank
fair, there
you.
is still a lot of combinations then, because there's a lot of words out there, and a lot of combination of words. But it's not impossible, and you can pre-calculate a lot of them and just do rainbow table lookups and so on. So. It is safer, 100%. It is easy to remember for you, which is also great. It's better than nothing, but just don't trust it too much.
I dropped a link to the XKCD
Thank you.
cartoon, so it's in the live chat now.
There is
That's good. It is.
it's very good. That's why, and I know some people also in the tech sphere, they're critical of passkeys or web auth n, how it's like technically, or FIDO2 is also called sometimes, and I understand that from their perspective sometimes, where they're like, yeah, I don't think it solves the thing, because it does not solve the problem that people don't trust the app. It doesn't. What it does solve is that nobody stores your password on the server.
Right.
Well,
Which
tech,
is a
well,
huge problem.
yes.
Yep.
With an
Saving it in
asterisk,
your browser and all that
with an
stuff.
asterisk, because of course your computer, and if you use iCloud Keychain or 1Password syncing, whatever, it's still stored somewhere. And if someone could get to that, then okay, you have the same problem. But it's not that someone can now crack whatever, can like attack LinkedIn, for example, which was like 10 years ago, something breach, I think. And probably since then, a couple of times, I don't know. Well, I don't remember. They can't crack their database or whatever, do ransomware attack and kind of siphon off some data before and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, they have, even if they're hashed and whatever, they have a whole database of potential passwords. And if they can't crack even some very easy ones, then hey, and then let's try that in Gmail and see if you use the same password and all of that. And that is basically impossible because you never send the password anywhere. Like all you do is basically some math magic, let's call it this way, with like some, well, it's technically like public key encryption. So there's a public key, a private key, and like all of that. And it's really complicated what happens in the background, but at the end of the day, you never send your password anywhere, you never send your passkey anywhere, you just send something that you generated out of it with something that you had from that server. And then it says, oh, yeah, that's yeah, okay, we can validate that as you because it fits your public key, so yeah, okay, fine, works.
Yeah,
You're
it's
you.
nothing is 100% foolproof, like you say, but something like passkeys. If all the places I went to use passkeys, I would love passkeys. It's
And
the
there is
transitional
fun. Yeah,
period
there is
that's tough.
attack vectors against passkeys as well. Like nothing is perfect, but I think it is technically, I think, the better solution as a like website like provider.
Yeah.
I love that because I don't have any passwords or anything for you. So even if someone got the BTN website database,
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I mean there's an email address still, but that's it. Like your name, your email address, and the public key. Which I'm like, cool.
Right, good luck.
Yes, cool, awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean at that point, if someone has access to our database and has read that, I have a different problem anyway. So that password is not my problem, but it's not a problem for you now because I mean all like your password is still on your machine. Your pass key is still on your machine.
Exactly.
So I
SSI,
think
yeah.
it's a better solution,
No.
but I understand the criticism that it feels a little bit like a technical solution looking for an application. Because it came from that. But to be fair, I think any encryption, any password, any all of that, all of those are technical solutions to a problem. Ideal world, we don't need passwords. We don't need anything, right? If we all were perfect people and we were only nice and we only did nice things and nobody stole anything or did anything bad, you would never need a password, right? Star
You
Trek.
wouldn't even need
No
locks.
security, nothing. You could literally leave everything open and like it's all fine. That's not the
Well,
world
based
we
on
live
what
in.
I've seen in my country in the last week, I don't think that's going to happen,
Yeah,
Patrice.
I mean, if it's gonna happen or not, it's not the world we live in right now. That's the problem. That's why we can't
All
have
right.
nice things.
This is why we
Yeah.
can't have nice things. Yep. Hey, Patrice, do you have a story for us?
Ah, didn't I post it? No, I never hit send. See? Oh my god. Yeah,
That's okay.
squirrel.
Nobody's perfect.
Squirrel. Yes, I have actually two stories because they're very closely linked. So you know the place formerly known as Twitter, I still call it Twitter, has had over time, over the last couple of years anyway, some problems, but very recently stuff happened in the US. We don't have to talk about it, all fine, but a lot of people are leaving I mean a lot of people that were still at that place for one reason or another are finally not trusting it anymore, not fed up with it, and like, okay, fine, I'm leaving. And they're flocking to, I would say, two alternatives. One is Meta's Threads, and one is Blue Sky, and also Mastodon has gotten quite some influx, but I think the two big ones seem to be Threads and Blue Sky for different reasons. And Threads grew basically. I love the headline from The Verge. Threads grew by Blue Sky this month, which is about
That
15
was
million
free.
signups. 15
Right.
million signups just this month. To be fair, I mean, Threads is Instagram. Threads is Meta, so they have a pretty hefty built-in user base. You have to enable it with your Instagram account. So that's why they can count still signups. But I mean, for a lot of people, it's quite easy because they're like, a lot of people already have Instagram and they're like, eh, whatever. I can just enable
Right.
that and then use that.
Very frictionless.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. And the people who don't like that or don't want that, they go to Blue Sky, which, as I said, to be fair, Blue Sky also grew quite a bit, just not as much. So that's kind of, that's the first big story. I mean, personally, I'm sad and I'm happy. Yes, that's a
I
movie
get what you're
reference.
saying.
That's a movie
Yeah.
music reference. It's lyric. And yeah, I mean, it's on one hand, I really like Twitter and I really rooted for it and I really thought it could be really cool. Unfortunately, I mean, Jack Dorsey says they made a bunch of major mistakes when growing up, and that's why it ended where it ended. He actually left Blue Sky recently for the same reason because he's saying, yeah, they're making the same mistakes. Threat probably the same thing. So, yeah. But Twitter was such a great thing, such a great idea, grew really well, did a lot of really cool stuff. And then, yeah, got mismanaged, got sold, got bought. And is basically being destroyed right now for whatever reason, we don't know. Just because they can, I guess. And that's the sad part. On the other hand, I'm very happy that there is a very healthy ecosystem of alternatives. It is not the same. It's not the one single place that everybody accepts as this is the place. Like Twitter was that. Twitter was, yeah, there was Facebook, but for the people who needed that short form content, like short messages, sending stuff. Hey, this is the breakfast I'm eating. I don't know, stuff like that. Or this is my opinion about X, Y, this is an interesting article, all of that. It was the place,
It
which
was
is,
kind of perfect. It was kind of perfect for that for 2 or 3, 4 years, you know.
longer than that, even. Like close to like 8 or 9 at least.
Yeah, probably. I
Yeah,
mean,
probably even 10.
it took 2 or 3 years before it really gained, I think, enough momentum.
Yes.
It was always fun, but it really
And
gained
then
momentum
for
two or three
about,
years
you
ago.
said, 9, 10 years maybe it kind
That's
of
true, because they launched in like 2008 or nine, right?
earlier than that
Yeah,
even.
it was all SMS based.
Way earlier than
Right.
that. It was really like 2005, I want to say, when they launched. Yeah, and it took a couple of years to grow, and then they had some growing pains, and eventually, but as I said, for a good, at least I would say, yeah, 10 years probably, they were quite good, and then it started to fall apart. Is that I'm
So
happy because there's a healthy ecosystem. I mean, Threads, yeah, it's all meta. You can think of it if whatever you want. Blue Sky, it's Twitter in diff with a different name. I'm personally I'll like the Mastodon approach, but I also recognize it's good to have multiple alternatives.
looking at Blue Sky, that looks vaguely like it's a master, it's powered by Mastodon, or at least there's some of that behind it.
So that's one of the secrets. In the background, the protocol that they're all supporting these days is actually like the Fediverse stuff. Blue Sky's using it. Threads is federating now as well. You can read messages from Mastodon written on Threads, and I think they're improving it more and more, adding more and more features. It started independent, but they're integrating. So like the big winner, I think, is the whole like federation thing.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be on a Mastodon account and server and to be able to follow people on Threads. I mean, one of the reasons I like Mastodon is A, it's just kind of a calm place for me. I know some people have had trouble with it, but for me, it's pretty calm and it's pretty fairly straightforward to get rid of people you don't want to be with. And your server owners, administrators have a lot of weapons in terms of blocking entire instances and things. And I see the logical conclusion of Threads or Blue Sky being Twitter. At some point, they're all going to end up in the same place as Twitter because they're going to
Potentially,
try to
yes.
make money and, you know, anyway.
That leads me into the second story that I brought because it's very closely related. That's why I thought I would bring both. Because Threads might get ads next year, which is not a surprise because Instagram
They
already has
have to. They
ads,
have to.
Facebook has ads, they're making a ton of money with it. So, of course, they're going to do ads.
Of course.
Well,
Yeah, it makes sense. And it's not fun, but it makes sense. You know where it's going.
it's a free, I
but
mean,
you need a revenue
it's
model.
a free service. And
Yeah,
there's,
so that's totally reasonable.
yeah, there, and there's only kind of three ways to make money on the internet these days, right? There's ads, which is the, would say, the predominant one because it's free for everybody, but you get ads. There's you pay for it, which a ton of people don't like. And there is the, let's say, Fediverse approach, where like a lot of, ton of independent people, everybody contributes a little bit of their money, spare time, whatever. Like what we do, I have techhangout.social, and I like give it to my friends for free, and I would just run it on my server, and yeah, that's it. So that's the other way of doing it. I don't think there is a fourth model really.
No, but it's that whole progression that what's his name? Cory Doctorow talks about. You know, first it's totally focused on what the user wants and et cetera. And then you start
Being
getting
shitted again.
ads, right? Then you
Being
start
shitted
getting
again, sure.
ads, and then you start catering to the people paying you to place the ads. So if it's stopped at the point where the worst thing that happens is you start getting ads in your feed. That's totally okay with me.
Yeah.
And maybe you give people the option of spending $5 a month to get rid of the ads. It's the steps after
which
that.
Which Instagram kind of tried.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Reddit does that now. Pay them $6.99. I pay to get rid of the ads because they got just too annoying.
And YouTube kind of does that, right? I mean, it's not the same. It's not. It's a different service, but YouTube does it. Like, you either get pelted by ads, like, until you can't hear them anymore, or you pay for it. For YouTube.
But at least the one, like with Reddit so far, and with YouTube with ads, because I don't pay for premium YouTube.
Me neither.
Watch it enough. And I see, you know, inline ads in Reddit, fine, you know, they got to make money, and they are actually making money now. It's things like ads in Google search that hide themselves as search results.
Yeah, or you have to scroll down basically halfway through the page to even get to anything real. Like,
yeah, if I'm on Reddit and one out of five posts is an ad, that's somewhat reasonable. It's
and they
the
always start with real.
Ads.
They always usually start with real content, and then then you might somewhere get an ad, and then there is a lot of more real content. There might be another ad, so it's never.
Right. I mean,
it's never in your face.
If the people at SFBA.social said, well, we need to start selling ads into our feed, honestly, I wouldn't worry about it. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, great, you know.
Yeah, but the,
because
the,
they're not going to take the next four steps, which is cater everything to the people buying advertising and selling them your data. You know, it's that last part where they just basically sell all your data and you become.
Yeah, but I mean... You can ask if whether that is just a natural progression of things, because you optimize for where the money comes from. I think most companies do that. It's very aware that the company
of course
do that.
Of course,
it does it? I mean, there is companies out there that don't. Like, I mean, also the not for profit companies, for example, like they to some extent probably don't do that, but most companies do, and I understand it. It's like
I agree. It's totally inevitable for that reason.
Yeah, it's the same thing when you take investment from like big, like VC companies. I mean, it doesn't have to be end that way, but it's pretty clear that they usually want an exit at some point, because why else would they give you money? And that means you will start have to prioritize things that lead you to that place, whether you want it or not. It's just part of the bargain you have to accept then. And it doesn't mean that it'll end that way, but it usually does.
I think the thing that is an interesting discussion philosophically is are social networks, well, we think of social networks 10 or 20 years from now, more like a utility, you know, water and electricity and transportation.
Yeah, not for profit.
And less like, right.
Yeah,
inevitably
And we're already having some of those discussions.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole. I don't know whether I should call Mastodon a success, but I think it kind of is in the little sphere that it is, because I mean, it's for sure not anywhere near the scale even of Threads or now of Twitter, even Twitter today. But I think you see that there is enough people willing to not do that trade-off and have that as a kind of a utility, and enough people to contribute. I haven't checked recently, but I think there is probably north of a couple thousand servers. Some are paid kind of because they have some Patreon or some other way of like some people contributing money to it. And I think a lot of them are either couple people instances like ours or like just friend groups getting together and doing it. Or like single people sometimes. It's all single instance. You can literally, if you want, you can spin up your own single person instance, run it on whatever, your Raspberry Pi at home and do it this way. It's totally legitimate, totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue about, you know, if I set up my own Mastodon server and I follow a gazillion people on other servers, but I don't contribute to the other servers, a little bit unfair to the other servers. But not really. But I guess like I said, it's like reading a newspaper. I'm willing to look at ads in it. You know, I was willing to look at ads in a newspaper because I got the newspaper fairly cheaply, you know, 20 years ago, and I knew that's how they made money. That was a
I mean,
totally fair trade.
basically all TV networks, or almost all TV networks work that way, right? You
Yeah.
pay a little bit for some, I mean, sometimes at least you pay a little bit for the service, the satellite,
Right.
the local broadcast, whatever it is. And then they still show you ads, but that's why it doesn't cost you as much as it does. And we also saw there it gets up people the network optimized for ads, right? The whole shows were cut
Absolutely.
in a way so that they can put ads in. Right? They have certain lengths so that they have enough time for ads, they have ad breaks in between. Like they did optimize for it for sure, 100%.
So is Cory Doctorow's and shitification law of the internet going to become like Newton's law?
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
50
Yeah,
years from now, they'll be talking about
until we
F
stop
equals
doing
MA
money,
and
probably yes.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Whenever that is gonna be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe. Well. All right. Here's a very awkward transition. Hey, how about that TSO host?
How about ads? How about ads? Yeah, I mean, we're part of it. Like, you get this for free,
Sure.
but you have to listen to us ramble on or talk very eloquently about an awesome service. How's that?
Right.
Ramble on.
And it's up to you to decide which it is.
Or to skip ahead.
Okay.
We can't stop you. We don't
Right.
want to stop you. No, but please don't.
Not
Listen
to
to us.
sh
Listen
We're not the
to us.
boss of you.
Exactly.
But for those of you that are hanging out listening, hey, so I'm talking about TSO Host right now because they're doing something pretty cool, which is helping us be here for you. They do web hosting, help with domain name purchases, and they're taking the stuff that they're doing and they're giving it to us so we can do what we do. And the resources that it takes to do all of this, I mean, it takes a lot. So we really appreciate that they are here to help us out. So here's what they're doing. They're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows to you every single week. They're giving us the hosting space so there's a place for the website to live. And they're giving us the server space we need so there's a place for all of the show files to live. So you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. And without their support, we wouldn't be here doing what we do today. So seriously, thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And glad you're giving back to the community through us. And hey, all of you, if you could hop on social media and give TSO Host a shout out and thank them for being here and supporting us, that would be just awesome because it's an easy and great way to let them know that we all do appreciate that they're here for us. And speaking of here for us, Patrice updated our entire system for the live stream and the live chat fairly recently, and it's fantastic. And we're totally modernized now, which means we have this great live chat. Patrice, can you tell people about that, please?
Oh, I totally can. It's a really cool system. Super easy. So we live stream on our very own website. We don't do it in YouTube, where you would have to suffer through their ads. We don't do it anywhere else. We literally host everything on our own server. So if you want to watch us live, record, stream, pre-show, post-show, everything, then all you have to do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording, which is usually at least 7 p.m. UK time on Thursdays for this very show. And I say usually because, well, you never know. Sometimes we might have to shift it by an hour or so. So watch our Mastodon, British Tech at techhangout.social on Mastodon, or on the website, we also have their calendar. So no worries if you don't want to go to Mastodon. But you don't even need an account. Like, this is all public. So just head over there, have a look. You can't follow it though. Yeah, and then we have a live chat on the side of that stream. So right next to it or under it if you're on a phone. there is a live chat, and that's where you can talk to us. That's where we put all the stories in. That's where when we talk about who has the first story and who's faster than who else and who's closer to the server and all of that, what we did in the beginning, that's literally what we talk about, because that's the chat we use for that. So you can see us live when we try to race who has the first story. So that's all cool. By the way, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, this is the other show where we talk about Apple, and there's a ton of Apple news as well. So that's a really interesting one. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice or on our website, because you can literally just go there and click play on any episode that we have. Or on, I don't know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a million other places. It's all fine, not a problem. We appreciate you listening to us. And then you're like, but I really want to see like that one link that Tom, like the story that Tom posted and talked about, like I really need a link and I can't find it. Well, fret not, we have a really cool system for that also in place, because the live chat automatically feeds back into our website and there's a transcript and that I have to fix, but I'll do that after the show. No worries, I saved everything. All you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar on the page and you select the date. And whatever dates you select, if you can click it, there's a transcript for that day. Usually Thursdays and Fridays, hint, hint, are probably good days because that's when you record. Like other days, there's probably nothing. That's where you find all the links and everything we talk about. Also the cool things just coming up.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
And thanks for all the work you put into modernizing our live stream and live chat. And I know for you, it's like,
thanks,
no big deal.
Thanks also to the open source community, because this is also a Fediverse-based system. So you can literally follow this server on Fediverse, like on Mastodon or probably Blue Sky or Threads. I don't know. I've never checked, to be honest. Might be possible. And then you see when we start streaming. So stuff like that. It's really cool. And this is completely free. Some people did an awesome job providing this solution. So just saying.
Yeah, and it's great.
The internet lives off a lot of people like me that do stuff for free. Just because it's fun.
Well, thank you for being awesome like that. And speaking of awesome, cool things, and Patrice nailed it. You're the first cool thing.
Yay! See, I because I was already in a chat, I was the fastest this time. So my cool thing is a new TV show. It's one of those procedurals. So if you don't like them, fine. Don't worry. Don't have to watch it. But if you're a fan of the NCIS universe, there is a new show that is really, really cool. And that is NCIS Origins, where we go back in time to, I think the early 90s, if I remember correctly. Actually, don't nail me on that one, but I think it's the early 90s. And we get to experience Proby Gibbs and how he like became the person that we know from the other shows that he's in or has been in. And it's a really, really cool show, really interesting. Except we go back a little bit in time, which is also cool, like to see how was everything back then and all of that. But yeah, it's a good show. It's on CBS. It's probably also in some other places in the world at some point. It's on Paramount Plus in the US. I can tell you that. It's just a cool show. Really enjoy it. Good actors. Interesting storyline. Very well done. I mean, what you would expect.
Where does NCIS franchise rank in most valuable assets Paramount's ever had?
Probably pretty high. I mean, they had a lot of them. They started with Jack and then they did NCIS because they realized that Jack just was too niche for everybody because of the whole military uniform thing.
Yeah.
Because NCIS is, there's a little bit of military thing here or there, but for the most part, it's like a crime procedural. So murderers and all of that. They have an Australian version these days. They probably have a couple others that I'm not even aware of. I think it's pretty high up there. It's not the really big one that everybody talks about, but a lot of people love it. So.
Yeah, I've watched much of it, and also the other spin-off I watched quite a bit was the LA one. That was
That was
really good.
really
It went on
good.
for
Hawaii,
many series.
I loved Hawaii because I've
Oh, I
been on
watched a
Hawaii
bit.
a
I did
couple of
watch a bit of
times.
Hawaii.
I've
Oh, right, yeah.
been there, I mean, a couple of times, and you know, I've my friends there, like family basically, Jerry and Doc. So I've been to a ton of places that they film at, and I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, I know where that is. So that's actually pretty cool. Unfortunately, they canceled a couple of them. LA got canceled. I don't think Hawaii is still around, but New Orleans they canceled. Yeah, so you know the usual at some point. But NCIS, the main show, has been around. I don't know which season are we in? 20, 30,
Yeah, we
lot,
must be in 20 season, 20
50,
seasons, something
108, who knows?
something like that. It's been they've been around for a very, very long time and been very successful. And keep doing it.
All right. Well, very cool. Patrice, this probably comes as a surprise, or maybe not. I have not seen a single
Of
episode
course.
of any
Ooh.
NCIS
Yeah,
franchise.
there I'm honestly not surprised because I'm not sure it would be your thing.
I'm not really into the procedural thing.
Yeah, I love it. Sometimes I mean, it is interesting. The cool thing about NCIS and also NCIS Origins is not different. It's not so much about the crime. It's not so much about the whole military and all of that. It is a lot about the people, the guest stars, the people in the crew and how they grow and interact and like all of that. It's more about the people and growth of people, and they like they talk like the there's a really good podcast from Tony and Ziva basically. So Michael Weatherly and Cote DiPablo. And it's Off Duty, I think it's the name. And they talk about that, and they're like, I mean, they were very much in the beginning, I think season three or something, they joined, or two, I think, even. They talk about, like, it was never about the crime. The crime is kind of the vehicle for, and the kind of the basis for all the other stuff that's interesting. So that's there's always crime, and it's procedural, so you know what's happening, but the people are the interesting bits.
Patrice, look at it this way. If you use NCIS for a retro rewatch, you'll have enough episodes
Oh.
for the next 20 years.
Yeah, and we would probably watch one, and then Jeff would say, nope.
I have an open mind. I would give it a shot, but yeah, you're right. I'd
Yeah, it's
probably
probably
watch
like
one
if we
and
make it to five, I think I would be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But I
so.
mean, that's a thing we could do. Make
Yeah.
Jeff watch shows that he wouldn't otherwise
Yeah,
watch
I mean, maybe
and
we'll
see
do
what
a
happens.
special supplemental at some point, watch like a select few of them, and then do one episode or whatever where we talk about your thoughts about
I'm
that.
gonna get
We could
Jeff
do
to
that.
watch a baseball game, a full baseball game on
Oh my God.
television.
Kill me.
On television.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did I do to piss you off?
I mean, Tom, the problem with that will be that I will not watch that either. So that will be a very short show.
That would be a
So,
problem.
it
All right,
will
so if
be,
we do that
Jeff, did you
show.
watch it? Did you fall asleep? Yes. Okay, me too. Thank you for listening.
So how was the baseball game that you sat all the way through
Yeah, what game?
in front of your television? Well, I got through three new levels in Lego Star Wars and got the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that could be. Yes. Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
All right.
next.
Awesome. Okay, Ian, it's your turn.
Yeah, I've got a plugin. I've talked about OBS for recording video before, and I've kind of got myself into helping a group I work with do some social media things, being the technical one. And so we'd like to get some stuff for YouTube and TikTok. And of course, I've been creating things that are in a landscape format, and I realize now I need to do it in a portrait format for people to swipe at when they're using their ticks and tocks and they're looking at the Instagrammy
Ticks
thing
and talks.
and other such madness that I need to talk to my children to learn. But I need a way of creating that video letterbox, and turns out there's a brilliant company called Atium, and they make a plugin called Vertical, and you add it into your OBS feed, and it adds a vertical window. You can light so, and you can record one. You can do one take record of both your one for YouTube in the more standard landscape format, and you can also line up your different bits of assets. So you've got your video and your other bits and pieces you're talking over, and you and everything else, and have that record side by side. So you only need to do one voice track, one thing, and that's really great. That's really helpful for me, to be fair.
That's
So I'm
super cool.
so that's a very cool and helpful little plugin which I haven't been messing about with much more.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right,
If you
Tom,
play
I
around
guess
with.
that brings us to you.
Okay, I
Hit
have
us with your cool thing.
three links corresponding to one thing. So I was saying earlier, I upgraded the SSD drive in my laptop. I have a Dell Latitude and it had a small drive on it. I bought it refurbished and didn't have any options, so I knew at some point I was going to do this. So I had a 256 gig drive. So my first thought was there's a great computer company here called Central Computers. And they have techs that know stuff and they sell cool stuff. And I thought, by the time I buy an enclosure and buy some clone software, even for a month or whatever, it's going to cost me 50 to 75 bucks anyway. And they actually said that they would do the swap for, I think, $80. But it turned out they didn't have anybody available. So I said, screw it, I'm going to do it myself. So the first thing on there is I had to buy an enclosure. So I bought this Unitech NVMe enclosure. And
Yeah,
it's
it's
super
good.
simple. It's like 20 bucks or less. It's
It's
got a
on sale,
USB-C.
$15.95.
Yeah, it's super
Nice.
cheap. It's got a USB-C on it. Just stick your SSD in there. It works great. Then same thing I did a few years ago when I upgraded my desktop. I bought EaseUS for cloning. This is on all on Windows. And it was 25 bucks, I think. I get it for a year and I won't renew it, but I'll use it for a year. And it works super fast. It's really reliable software, not the best documentation and user interface, but it's pretty simple. And then the last thing I did is I wanted to check the speed. And I've been using Windows for a long time, and I had never heard of a command that would basically do a quick benchmark on your drive. It's called WinSAT. It's a command that you can do a bunch of performance checking on Windows machines, a whole host of performance checking. In 25 years, more than 25 years of using Windows, I'd never heard of this. So I did a little test. I didn't test the old internal drive, but I have a spinning drive, and it was reading and writing at about 70 megabits per second. I have an external SSD, and it reads and writes at about 400 megabytes per second. So it's like 8x, 7x faster, or 6x faster. And then this new internal drive, I got a Western Digital Black brand, so a little bit faster. It's doing data transfers at 3 gigabytes per second.
Wow.
I know
That's
I'm not,
good stuff.
Thunderbolt 5 streaming video, 200 terabytes of video, but it's
That's still
amazing
pretty fast.
how disk drive technology has gotten faster. All these things you hear about faster interfaces and all that, it does really pay off. We're spoiled.
Yeah, that we are.
Anyway, shout out to Central Computers. They're extremely helpful. It's a great place if you're in South Bay.
Nice. Very
Cool.
cool.
Yeah, and I
All
like that
right.
you also like help your local businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to go there when I can. I could have ordered all this stuff online, but they have it there. It's probably 10 or 20% more expensive, but whatever.
I mean, that's a fine price for one of those, the little sort of candy things. $15 is completely fine.
Yeah, they're not
Yes.
overpriced at all. They don't gouge you there, and it's a super geeky place, so I love it.
Yeah, the best.
All right, then I guess that brings us to my cool thing.
Yes.
And it's a good thing all of you are sitting down because this is not something you would ever expect from me. Here we go. Matlock, the
Lego?
new CBS TV series
Oh,
starring
another
Kathy
CBS show. Wow.
Right? The look on
There's
Ian's
Andy Griffith
face.
in it.
No, but the awesome thing is they totally reference that and make jokes about the TV show. And so Kathy Bates, her character is
Oh,
Madeline
it's Kathy
Matlock,
Bates. Yeah.
and she's a retired attorney who decides she wants to get back into the game, and she has like this sweet Southern upbringing, seems innocent as can be, and but as sharp as a tack, and she knows how to play the game, and much like all of like Matlock and all of the other lawyer procedural sort of shows that I'm not interested in, they have the race against time where they have to find all the evidence to save their innocent client from going to jail. And so here's Kathy Bates. No one in the law firm really trusts her because, I mean, she's older. She has been retired for years, and kind of weasels her way into this law firm. And yet she's the one that is on top of it and finding the interesting evidence, and there's all the other character stuff that goes along with this. And she even makes jokes about, I know I'm an attorney and my name's Matlock, and yeah, and everyone used to make the joke about, oh, like Andy Griffith, ha ha ha. And it just really bothered me, but finally I realized it's just gonna be that way. And so yeah, it's like Andy Griffith, ha ha ha. And at one point in the pilot episode, there's even a joke about how they have to find the evidence, and it's going to look like their client is going to jail, but at the last second they'll be able to come in with that piece of information that dramatically saves them, and you know they're all making a joke about it, and of course that's exactly what happens because that's the formula for this type of story. So it's a genre that I'm not interested in, but Kathy Bates is wonderful, and she makes the procedural hunt for the evidence to solve the mystery fun, and there's this great mix of characters, and I like that clearly none of them are perfect people. And I mean, they have some real flaws in who they are, and they play off of that. And I've only seen a couple episodes, but I'm enjoying it. I think if it was anyone other than Kathy Bates playing the lead, I wouldn't have made it through the episodes that I've made it through. But I'm enjoying it.
I love Kathy Bates. She's good.
Oh, she's fantastic. And I mean, and she's in basically every scene. And the rest of the cast, I mean, you know that all of these actors are probably thinking, holy forking shirtballs, I have to play opposite Kathy Bates and hold my own. And it totally works. It is lighthearted, but there's enough tension and drama so that you have that part too. But it's not like I feel like I have to really invest myself completely in the show. It's Kathy Bates being Kathy Bates. And I love
Sure.
that they are totally fine poking fun at the original Matlock, and totally call it out as a TV series, and making jokes about all of the other mystery type shows that were from the same era. So they have no problems at all with the related self-deprecation. So
And
there you go.
there's a Bow Bridges sighting too.
Yes. Yes, Bow Bridges is in this too. Yeah. So
That looks good.
yeah, it's fun. All right. So with that, it is now time to wrap up. And thank you to the four of you for just being so amazingly, wonderfully awesome. I know I say things like this every single week, but I say it because it's true. I genuinely enjoy getting to hang out with all of you. So thank you for making my day a little bit brighter. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on a Thursday night on the Big Show. And if I'm not here, you can find me in the Slack room. Some say hello to me there. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant and I work for Veeam, but those are the usual things. You might find me popping up on Blue Sky and Threads and Bits and having a look around, and I'm at TIOA, my usual at TIOABOA, turning off and back on again. There.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Tom, how about you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Cool. Okay. And Patrice, when you are not eating amazing cookies and drinking mulled wine out of your little holiday boot, where can people find you?
Did Ian say something about drinking? I don't like I stoned out then. I think you did say something about it. No. You can find me every week here on the or almost every week on the British Tech Network on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, except for the weeks when I'm traveling, like for example next week. You can find everything I'm doing on my like website, all the social media links, yes, Mastodon as well. You can find all of the other things, podcasts, projects, everything on thepatrice.com. And I think we talked about it already a little bit, but I am gonna mention Retro Rewatch again and showing the nice little mug that I have. Not so little, it's really cool. RetroRewatch.com, where Jeff and I watch retro TV shows. We're going through Stargate SG-1 currently. We're in the middle of season one. And actually tomorrow there will be an like we did two crossovers between British Tech Network shows and Retro Rewatch. But now we're going back, season break is over, mid-season break is over, and we're going back into episode 16. That's of Stargate SG-1 season one, which is due out tomorrow.
Can't wait to find out what we thought about the episode.
Yeah, because we've already forgotten. I mean, to be fair, we forget what we said like 30 seconds ago. So,
This is why we record things.
exactly. It's literally like we
This
only
is
put
why
this out
we're
as a
alone.
podcast because we already had it
So you
recorded, but
remember.
like so we know what we said.
Yeah. And Patrice, first off, it's fun just doing the show with you. But
It is.
second, I find it fascinating now that we have quite a few episodes under our belts that there's a very clear pattern to how this plays out.
Yes.
And it involves Patrice being able to very systematically run through every single scene in order, and me jumping around because I'm jumbling scenes together or completely forgetting that there's a thing that happened in the episode. And I guess that's the difference between watching it for the first time and having seen an episode several times.
Pretty much, yeah. I really enjoy that part of what we're doing.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
Yes.
Okay, I guess that means it's my turn now. All right, on social media, J Gamut, pretty much everywhere, and I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram, but with the big influx we're seeing on Threads and Blue Sky, I am working on paying more attention to those. Then for podcasts, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice so eloquently pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And I think that's all the shows that I'm doing regularly right now. It's enough for now. And with that, okay, let's really wrap up. Thank you again to the three of you for just being so fracking awesome. And as I've already said, making my day a little bit brighter. You're awesome. And all of you that watch or listen live, thank you for being here. I am so glad you're part of the show. And if you've been in the live chat, thank you for being there as well. All of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of this whole big BTN thing we have going on as well. All of you, every single one of you, you're just awesome people. And speaking of awesome, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, excuse me, I thought I was going to make it to the end without that cough. But boy, nope, didn't happen. All right. Okay, so with that out of the way, everyone, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. Then come back next Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.